Today, you're in for a beautiful episode with Sophie Sheesh, life strategist, author, and therapist, and Katie Hendricks, an evolutionary catalyst, contextual disruptor, and freelance mentor who has been a pioneer in the field of body intelligence and conscious loving for 50 years. Together, Sophie and Katie hold space in the form of the Be, Play, Love podcast, in which they offer personal transformation doesn't have to be hard. How's that for an invitation? Join us in the episode as we talk about all things being, playing, and loving. Are you obsessed with the mystic? Are you looking for sisterhood? Are you ready to explore your inner magic? You've arrived, sister. Welcome home. I'm Maureen Spielman, and I started this show to highlight the intuitives, healers, and other courageous women I have met along my journey. Through amazing interviews, we go deep into the mystics and uncover the ways in which you can apply the knowledge and wisdom in your own life. We are all in this together. Sharing healing and joy in community is both my passion and my purpose. Here's today's conversation. Welcome back to Mystical Sisterhood. I'm your host, Maureen Spielman, and today I sit down with Sophie Sheesh and Katie Hendricks, two wise, witty, resourceful, energetic, and playful women who are here to share their work and their wisdom. Their bios are both lengthy and juicy, and I will have all the links in the show notes so you can discover their work later. And I always like to give a shout out to how I met my guest, if there was some link there. And I met Sophie through a group. I was in a business networking group called Mind Your Business with Dara Brustein and Kate Rosenow. And that's how we met. And it was probably a year and a half, 2 years ago even. So I'll just start there and say welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Hello. Thank you so much, Maureen.
I'm so happy to be here with you. Before we dive in, I have been taking a deep dive into your podcast, Be, Play, Love. And I woke up in the middle of the night. It felt like getting downloads about what are the messages they're sharing besides being, playing, and loving, which we'll kind of dive into too. But I think what really came out was collaboration, friendship. I love it. It's just in the energy of it. Offering messages with the intention of them becoming really exponential and real takeaways into people's lives. And there's always a lot of laughter. And I love the fact that you just laugh so much and just kind of play off one another. And my intention today is for the listeners to get to know you two both individually and collectively. And just we'll go from there. I think that there's going to be a lot of takeaways for the listeners. So why don't we dive in? Katie, I was going to start with you. Like I said, you have a wide body of work in the personal growth space, and yet you find yourself here today. So if you just took this moment in time and you shared with the audience, what do you see as your soul's mission or missions in this lifetime? And how did you kind of learn to trust into this was your path in life?
Question. I would say that what I've been up to since I was a little girl is the dance between authenticity and essence, that being authentic, being able to be yourself, share yourself, speak from yourself in a real way reveals more and more of not only who you are at your core, who I am at my core, but what's wanting to come through me. Yeah. And I find that the more I can open myself and come from my core, come from my essence, then the universe speaks through me. And so it's always a discovery. I never know quite what I'm going to say. And I find that really, that's very exciting rather than having a spiel that I've rehearsed and this is what we do and this is what you should do. It's really in the energy of collaboration, you know, in genuine connection that essence gets revealed both individually, but also between.
It's so beautiful that for not having a spiel that right there was so beautiful. And I think you captured so much of even what I've been up to in my own life and sort of the path of the uncovering and the shedding and letting go. And it feels like a path forward and the laying down of what's not mine anymore. So authenticity and essence, so beautiful. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, really great. And Sophie, same for you. You've been coaching for so long. And I think of you because when I hear you talk, you have all the training in your coaching and your work, and you bring in your own transformation from your own life. I believe in your teaching, and I really hear that in your work. And how do you most love, like, you're doing this work of supporting individuals in, I was going to say, just in their experiences, really. I don't know how you name that. If you say I support them in their transformation, or it's just in, like Katie said, finding their truth in essence.
Wow. That is a big question. Different question, mm-hmm. but a big question mm-hmm. as well. I love this authenticity and essence as like a little girl quest already, Katie. Of course, you and I would have found each other and meshed at some point, because I think I was obsessed with that same thing. Like, I was very, very young, and my family always referred to the fact that I would ask these questions. I was like, where's the wind coming from? And where are we going? And why are we part of nature? And like these really complex things when everybody else was more about, you know, what Barbie should I get? And so I believe that somehow we have a pod of people that we're meant to find and be with each other. And yeah. I have to say, when I met Katie and Gay, which, funny enough, the name on the screen says Gay because we were joking he's always with us somehow, which he is certainly in my life and Katie's life. But when I first met them, there really was this sense of like, oh my God, that's my people. That's my people. I've, I've walked my life a little bit feeling lonely, that I hadn't found my tribe just yet. And as I became close friends with them, more and more my tribe came to me, because I was becoming more and more comfortable with this authentic essence that we're speaking of here. And so I am just forever grateful. I do remember a funny story where Katie was at my house. We had become friends quickly, but recently, and you stayed at my house, Katie, you had an event the next morning or something, and Gay called. And so the two of you on the phone, and you and I were laying in bed just chatting and just like, you know, just being girlfriends. And he called, and you interacted in a way that I was single at the time, and I had just come out of a relationship that was a little bit wonky, dumpus. And I remember feeling like, I want that. And at the time, you guys maybe were together 30 years already. And he was sexy, and he was funny, and he was juicy. And I was like, oh, that is what I want. That is what I want. I think it planted the seed for what I have now. So that's a start.
I love it. I love that. So you've known each other for a while. I was wondering, this is so cool that you've come together on this endeavor at this point in your life after knowing each other for so long. I was thinking about why your souls are together, and just thinking, I wonder if they've thought about, have we done this dance in another lifetime together?
Well, I'm having so much fun in this lifetime. Mm-hmm. That's really all absorbing right now.
I love that. Yes, that's a good place to be. How about you, Sophie?
You know, there was a conversation once where Katie and I were chatting about something. I think I said, is it raining where you are? Because it's raining here. And she answered like she would, like something about how when the planet is dry, it reflects that our own energy, like it's almost like we dehydrate as the planet dehydrate. And I was like, Katie cannot answer a question other than in a poetic, beautiful, deep way. And I had this moment of, why am I the only one who's hearing this? Like, there was a moment of like this juiciness that you have, Katie, and you've been sharing it with thousands of people and millions, maybe at this point with the books and all. But there was this like, almost like, I don't want to be selfish. Like, I want to share her, you know, in maybe spaces that are not the ones that are as usual for you. And it just was just like, this legacy of beauty, you know, we have to, in this culture, that's all about, you know, just get quick and get nothing and be not deep. You know, I just felt like what we were doing together had to be shared. That's how for me it became very clear.
Yeah. And I appreciate the conversations you're having, and I can see what you're saying about Katie, because a lot of the questions that you're asking, Sophie, Katie, you say things, and the same for you, Sophie, but in ways that I haven't heard before, because there's a lot of information out there right now. And a lot of it sounds the same. I think it's for everyone saying it. It has a different vibration. It's in their way. But the language and the analogies and the experiences you share are new and fresh to me. So I really appreciate that, because one thing I know is that we often need to hear things in different ways. and at different times.
Yes. And the same thing over and over again. And we know that in advertising for sure, but in our, in really getting through, I think part of what I was just appreciating again about you, Soph, is that you have a radical openness. I mean, you, when you come into a space, it's like, oh, you know, the windows are open and the lights go on. And I was appreciating so much your courage to be so radically open. Mm. And that openness really invites invention and invites something new. So even though the experience might be similar, in reflecting and resonating with you, there's some new aspect that emerges that just adds to the play and also, I think, adds to the depth that each of us can experience, you know, in ourselves and in our connection. Because I think our society is so starved for depth and being able to be deeply together rather than a bounce off together.
Yeah.
Who would not want to be friends with someone who talks about you that way? Like when I first met Katie, she introduced me to someone and I sat there and I just started crying. I literally, I don't know if you remember that, Katie, but I literally was like, oh my God, I'm seen and I'm understood and I'm valued, you know, and we often talk about how in relationships, friendships, love, you know, wherever, to acknowledge each other and to appreciate each other, how deep that takes the conversation, you know, when we're able to speak to each other. It's almost like it creates such a space of freedom and love, you know, very quickly.
Yeah. I have a few questions already, and we can go with whichever one makes sense to you first. Sophie, when Katie is telling you these things, I'm wondering, the light that you are, the joy that you bring, the radical openness when you enter a room, were you always like that? Do you remember being like that as a child? Did you lose it for a while? How is that for you?
I do remember possibly having it and losing it and reconnecting to it. But certainly having friends and loved ones that speak to you the way Katie speaks to me, to us, to, you know, a lot of the people around her, there is it's almost like a flower, you know, you just like, yes, you look good, but then you dehydrate a little and then someone puts water, you put water on your own self, you know, but sometimes to have someone else, but the water is really delicious. And so these years of friendships, just, I remember moments where things get tough. I don't even know, Katie, if you know that, but I will summon you, like you and Gay, I'll summon, what would they do? How would they see me right now? How would I like to tell them the story of this moment that I would be proud of it? And it kind of, you know, it lifts me by another step. Yeah, I mean, my wish for the world is that they all have a friend or friends with them, you know, because I think the world would not be suffering as much and fighting as much if they had, you know, a model of someone in their lives that is so loving and caring.
It's beautiful. You know, when I was putting together some notes and I was listening to the two of you, it reminded me of the scene in when Harry Met Sally, when the woman next to Meg Ryan says, I'll have what she's having. And it's a little bit when I listen to your conversation in a different way, like, I want more of that. And the two of you, I think what's really important about what you bring to the world is that it's an embodiment of how women can work together. I'm all about that. And I think it's the new paradigm. It's what we are wanting to experience. Sophie, thank you for saying the parts about Katie's appreciation. And I heard you talking in one of the podcasts about when we deeply appreciate another, it's that willingness to go deep and go deep with somebody. And like you said, Sophie, makes us feel really seen and heard and valued. And to me, what you're saying also is that life gets better and better.
Yes. I mean, really kind of amazingly, from having the support of somebody, I mean, just the clear support, the kind of, I gotcha.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm here, but also I'm really interested. So like, I'm always really interested in what Sophie's going to say next, you know, and what she's up to. And so seeing your friends as becoming, you know, I like to think of all of my friends as evolving works of art. And so my job is partly to just, oh, what's shimmering today? And what's showing up and what am I sensing might be on the horizon. And so when there are any, you know, any kind of kerfuffles or, you know, things that happen or we get overwhelmed, we can draw on that nourishment. And, you know, it's, I think of it as a reservoir. We can draw on that reservoir and then our contact refills the reservoir. So we always have that sense of plenty rather than scarcity.
Mm, so well said. So Katie, that makes me wonder, did that inner nourishment, I know you named one of the recent podcasts, I think nourishing your inner landscape. Did that come first for you? And, you know, for people who are wanting to experience both that inner relationship and with the outer, with their friends, work colleagues, like, is it a both and kind of dance?
I think it very much is a both and, because, you know, I was just thinking the other day about how many geniuses have just fallen away because nobody ever said, wow, what are you doing? And, oh, that looks so interesting. And didn't give them that additional, the nourishment of attention, which is so critical for humans. You know, we need it as much as food and water. So for me, what was just coming to me is that finding what I love to do, even as a kid. So my mother's first entry in my baby book was, Kathy loves to pull herself up in her crib and dance. And I didn't discover this until I was in my 20s and I was already studying to be a dance movement therapist. And I went, oh my God, it's been there since the very beginning. And finding what you love to do is what I think one of the biggest sources of nourishment, because you're activating your creativity. But then when you have people to play with or to share with, and I think that just amplifies the creativity and brings in that other dimension of, oh, even when I'm not doing something creative, I'm still completely lovable.
Yes. Yeah, that's beautiful. Sophie, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I was just thinking about doing what we love, and Gay interviewed me on a different podcast recently, and we had a conversation about what I do, which has to do with productivity and purpose and making sure you actually do what you love. So there's no procrastination because you actually love doing it. Yeah. That's one of the reasons people get lost in moving widgets as opposed to. And Gay said, and it's funny because I've been at this topic for a long, 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 long time. And Gay very simply said, wow, there really is never enough time to do something that I don't want to be doing. And I just was like, that's it. That's the summary of it all. It's like, if I'm doing something, like when we're together, like I can come to these calls like Kitty and I do the podcast, and I could have had a morning or full or too much. I'm a little tired. I'm a little whatever, my throat. And we get together, and it's, and I think, Katie, you experience a similar thing. We're just being together just instantly. Mm-hmm. Like my energy's here. My voice is miraculously back, you know, because there's an alignment and a simplicity in our being together that requires zero effort. I think it's partly what happens. I don't know what you think of that, Katie.
Well, my sense is too that we, I don't have to have any, or, you know, I don't have to sort of introduce myself or, you know, get into a certain frame or show up in a certain persona to have you like me. I can show up however I am. And I love that. I mean, just that alone, just imagine if you experienced all of your life as a come as you are party and you're totally welcome.
Now, yeah, I love it all. Katie, you've both been in this space for a while, but I'm thinking about, I was looking at your website and all the work that you've done and the programs you offer. Has it been a constant of what you see, or is there a gaining interest in recent years in personal growth, or how does that look to you?
Well, I would say that while I've been doing this for particularly the embodiment, I wanted to really just emphasize what you were talking about embodying what we're speaking about. And my sense is that particularly in the last 10 or 15 years, people have gotten much more interested in embodiment. In fact, there are actually people who now call themselves embodiment coaches. And but the whole element of how am I experiencing this? Yeah. Is different than what am I thinking about this? Because we are, you know, I say that the world has gotten very head-centric now, that most people live up here and live in their phones. And so the more that we can embody the more our body wisdom and the generations of wisdom that we carry in us can come to the surface. And I find that that comes through me in quiet ways. It never yells at me. It's really like, oh, you know, just take a deep breath, or, oh, I'm scared right now. It really informs me about what's going on, or, oh, you could just say this right now. And so it opens up discovery for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I picked up a lot of your work is around the body and being in the present moment, being with your breath, using your body as a vehicle, like you're saying, to guide you for information, way more intelligent than it's ever been given any credence to.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I want to show you this. This book, At the Speed of Life, which is all about embodiment, we wrote 30 years ago.
Wow.
I mean, literally 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And we use it in our coaching training. But the principle is invite your body, support your body, ask your body.
Mm-hmm. There was a writer, Harley, that's one of my multiple personalities, and it goes pretty fast at the beginning. And I often would experience something that when I, you know, started talking to Kitty and Gay, had almost a name for it, where I would start my motorcycle fast. And it was almost like part of myself stayed over there, and I would move forward, right? And that is how I perceived I've lived my life for a long time, because I was very overweight, you know, my 350 pounds carried around. I really, my body was not a friend. It really wasn't. There was a war, you know, at play at all times. And so to be in my body and to speak of embodiment were such painful concepts for a long time, because it really was it's almost like if something happens at the corner of two streets and you get, you know, held at gunpoint or something, you don't want to go back there. You don't want to go across that street until, you know, you heal. And that's kind of what the work was for me, like this motorcycle sense that my body was not with me at all times. And then when it clicked, and it is now, oh, what a powerful, now that's where I go first. Like when something happens, immediately I'm like, huh, how does that sit? How does that feel? How is my tummy?
Yep.
You know, and it's just the wisdom, as Katie talks about, there's so much wisdom that we don't receive and benefit from. If we don't, it's almost like a sense that we don't invite. It's like I would walk around deliberately not using my eyes.
Absolutely.
Or my ears. You know? What a silly thing to do.
Yeah. And the offering of how does the things we might consider as simple, how does it feel in your body? Where do you feel it? Put your hand on your heart. Because Katie, with the book you just showed, two books I think of that were written around I think it was Gary Zukav's Seed of the Soul. And then I have a copy right now. I'm reading a book called Anamkara by John O'Donohue, and it's the Celtic Book of Wisdom. And so in both of those books, that was 1997, they're saying change is afoot. Things are happening in the world. And it's so interesting because for a lot of people, even now, we're just discovering. 5-6 years ago, when I had a big diagnosis in my life, that's when I finally said, Sophie, all this stuff in my body, like I've been disconnected. And the internal call, it was time to attune and attend to myself and learn new things. But I'm always fascinated when I'll look at the cover of the book and say, when was this written? Because it's almost like they're saying, like even when Gary Zukav talks about partnerships, marriages, relationships being spiritual in nature, where we are carrying one another and so invested in each other's journeys. I think like, oh my gosh, this was written 30 years ago. And it's really fascinating to me, but your book is evidence there that you were in on that too, but we discover it when we discover it.
And I also think that every generation needs to rediscover and own, you know, how is it now? Because it's definitely way different than it was 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. Do you want to expand on that?
Body, I mean, the conversation of the body, we could be talking for 3 weeks. I feel like there would be more to say. Mm-hmm. But the trust, to me, it became, like I said earlier, it was an enemy for such a long time. But to start really trusting that when my body said, that's how I choose my food. Like I'll be in a restaurant and I literally will be like, what do you, and sometimes I'll be like, salmon? I don't even like salmon that much, but somehow my body needs something with fish and to have learned to really trust that and not be like, really? Because chocolate cake feels better right now, right? Like I might have done before. Really?
I was hearing you talking about the inner yes and no, which is a great way of orienting to your insides, that we learn to look at ourselves from the outside and to evaluate ourselves. How does it look? How are people judging me? But when you go to, when you were saying, how does it feel? I mean, that's a whole thing we could explore in such depth. Mm-hmm. Because one, how do you actually feel? What is feeling for you? Is it like a sense of something touching you? Is it a sense of your visual expansion? Is it something that you hear from inside? And then how do you follow that? Mm-hmm. How, when you get in a sort of an impulse or, you know, a little trigger from inside, how do you relate to that? How do you be with yourself? And so those are all things that we're taught how to do, but they don't really have anything to do with being with yourself. Yeah. And one of the images I love to use is sitting next to myself as if I were sitting next to a friend on a porch swing. Mm-hmm. And we're just kind of being together, you know, and I might put my arm around you or I might put my arm around myself. And that sense of being with is very active rather than leaning on or letting go into. The activity from inside is very powerful.
Sounds like it.
I'm on the porch with you.
Yeah. I'm thinking of my doppelganger coming up right next to me. Hey, what do you want to do? How do you want to, you know, what do you want to do? How do you feel? Yeah. I love that witnessing, Katie.
There is a sense to me also, I don't know if it's true in America as much as it was in France, but there was a lot of put a sweater on. I'm not cold. Put a sweater anyway.
Yeah.
It's time to eat. I'm not hungry. Or finish your plate. Or all these things that not only were we doing it directed by the outside, but even worse, we were told that what we were feeling was wrong and was, we learned to disrespect. Like, if you want me to put a sweater when I'm not feeling cold, what are you telling me? Like, I'm not true to, right? Like, that's where
I can't trust myself.
I can't trust myself. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Sophie, you had the example in one of your podcasts about how you said you were always cold as a child. Is that right?
Yeah. I was. I have a thyroid situation that I was always cold, indeed. Mm-hmm.
And yet you were told to go outside and play and right.
Something, exactly. I mean, it doesn't matter which order it happens. Like, am I feeling, what matters to me is that I'm feeling something and you telling you, the outside world, the parent, the teacher, the friends, the little friends in school. I was watching a show yesterday with a bully situation, and I was remembering in my bones, like, what it felt like not to be accepted and liked, and what I had to do, like, start smoking to be with the smoking people outside. Like, what just like so out of myself to feel a belonging, like a belonging that
absolutely
was not for a while.
It makes me think of the kids of today. And what do you think is sort of like an antidote to it, or how to, one of my coaching backgrounds is in conscious parenting, which I love, which is a lot about tending to ourselves before we tend to our children and look at what we have to heal and resolve within. But what I see and what I'm hearing you say is, when we approach individuals, can we ask them their, what, how they feel, what's right for them, what's, you know, and let them lead the conversation. But is there more to say about that, Katie?
I like to ask people, gosh, I noticed this. I just wondered how are you experiencing that? Mm-hmm. And so I won't use words. I try not to, that they may not be familiar with. So, you know, how do you feel that, you know, or where do you feel that in your body? But how are you experiencing that kind of opens up the, I'm actually having an experience here. I'm not parked, you know, and, you know, just automatically responding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I have a conversation sometimes with parents who will describe to me a situation and they'll say, you know, what do you think I should do? And I'll say, but I don't know. Did you ask your child about it? Did you invite their opinion before you even ask them? You know? And often the answer is like, Okay, maybe start there.
You know, I was just thinking too that a wonderful essence question is, what do you want? What do you really want? And I remember in parenting, that was the most important question. So if I say, what do you want? And then I can support you getting ready for what you want, preparing for it, looking at what the obstacles are. But I'm really focused on what you want, which I think of as an essence question.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I remember being in a restaurant with my daughter, who may have been 5'4". She was little, probably enough to justify what I'm about to say, maybe. But every time the waiter would say, like, what is she going to have? And I would say, I don't know, ask her. Like, there was yeah. always this, like, sense. And they did that till she was later, you know, older. And it was always striking me that mm-hmm. they would have to go through me, you know, mm-hmm. to know what was important to her, or what was, you know, what she mm-hmm. was interested in doing or having.
Yeah, you know. That's interesting. And kids learn that from an early age, to defer to somebody else for their needs and desires. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was just thinking of the phrase that I learned from one of our friends, boss of my body. She was with some friends, and their little one was about two and a half of that. And someone came up to touch her, and she said, no, I don't want to. And her mother said, no, she doesn't want to hug. And the other person said, oh, you know, like, she wanted to. And, yeah. and the little girl said, I'm boss of my body. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I love that.
Absolutely. I love it too.
Another one people do a lot of, it's like, go say hello to this lady. And it's like a person who doesn't smell good and you don't know them.
Right.
Like, why do you want me to do that? And then, of course, when I'm 12, you're telling me not to have sex with these. Like, it's like, how do you expect me mm-hmm. to give up my sense now, but then you want me to have a sense of what's good for me and not good for me later on? It's kind of a bizarre thing how we don't let children choose, but then for really big things like drugs and sex and rock and roll, like, all of a sudden it's like, oh, you better have the right answer. And mm-hmm. you know, right. no, you controlled me all these years, and now yeah. you're like throwing me into the world. It's kind of a funny recipe for success, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And no wonder that we all get back on the path of finding ourselves in those middle years, whatever they were for most of us. I was listening to the one episode where you were talking about choices around food. And I just, the conversation was so beautiful. I can't wait to binge all of the episodes, because I know you're talking about money. You're talking about just a...
Binge is a funny choice of word for that particular episode, I would
say. Oh,
yeah. Yep. You can take your time and enjoy your meal of podcasts.
Yeah. Well, I just loved it. I loved it because you were just both kind of alluding to it, but that you had said food as an act of love. Mm-hmm. And just this turning of how from the outer to the inner, and how do I want to feel? You both had talked about, I think, like, attunement to your own bodies. And really, how did that give me a headache right away? What's my inner calling? I don't like salmon. Is it salmon right now? But I loved it also because it's a gentle breaking open. You said it in the podcast, women and food is sort of a secretive topic. And I recently did a solo episode on just relationship to body. And because it's kind of this covert thing that is not, I feel like, always talked about. And so I have gratitude for you bringing up the conversation and really with new perspective and new lens and offerings for the listeners.
I love this idea that every bite is an act of love or it isn't. Mm-hmm. Like, there are foods that give me energy. There are foods that suck my energy. There are foods that make me want to go take on the world. And there are foods that make me want to go take a deep nap. And sometimes that's okay. Like, sometimes when I feel like I need a good night's sleep, I'll eat a pizza or something and my body will be like, whoa, I gotta go.
But Sophie, do you think that that journey for you too, was it like a, it's like, I feel like it's converging roads where you're paying attention to the way things make you feel. But then I feel like that worthiness piece and the deservingness to feel certain ways in our lives, but we're just not used to it. It's been a, you know, kind of a challenge in my own life. And it seems like it's converging on this right, like, I don't mean to say right path, but just a feel good, like a it just feels good because it's been a challenge or friction inside of me. Yeah.
To me, this brings me back to authenticity. Mm-hmm. So when I'm listening to myself and I really am tuning into, you know, not just in the area of food, but it's a great place to start because we interact with food, you know, mostly most of us every day of one, do I want this, you know, or what do I want? Or I'm just going to go and open the refrigerator and see what's there and kind of, you know, grab something. But if I'm opening to what will support my wholeness right now? What will support my energy, but also what will support my action in the world? Because I think a lot of us have used food to go away, both from the outside world, but also from our own feelings, you know, our own emotions, things we might need to make decisions about. And so I've seen so many people literally eat their feelings, that opening up to what is it that I really want? And then noticing, does that really feed me?
There was a lot of people as I was losing my weight that would ask, you know, like, what are you doing to lose weight? And what's your, what was the breaking point or any of those things? And loving myself was definitely, like, the more I loved myself, the less I could eat foods that make me feel horrible. I mean, that makes sense, right? Like, I think before I was eating, knowing that if I ate all this sugar or if I had all these breads or it would be a punishing act. Like, I knew it. I was, I mean, there was already a lot of awareness there because a lot of people don't even realize that, like, I would be angry. I would want to do chips, you know,
you know,
exactly. And if I need, I felt lonely or sad, I would just eat Nutella, you know, gooey, sweet, kind of like make me feel love of sorts. But as I was doing it, I knew that it was some sort of a, you know, alternative that was not the it. It wasn't giving me that thing that I wanted, which was connection and feel my sadness. When I first started eating differently, I would sit there and just cry, like all these years of not crying. And I just like for three, I don't know, 30 minutes, I would just sit there and cry. But it felt so good. It felt so good. Just release this pent up, you know, sadness. So that's a good exercise. Let yourself feel those.
Yeah.
It sounds as if you were eating, you were literally getting the nourishment from feeling your feelings. Then, and that's a deep nourishment. And eating often covers up and doesn't genuinely nourish you. So when people start crying or start getting angry or recognize when they're scared, I know that they're starting to open up. The armoring that we all learn. And so I always celebrate when people are crying. I think it's wonderful.
It's, yeah.
I remember one time being in front of my refrigerator and I was going to do a binge. My thing was eating late at night and pretty much everything in sight, like mayo with Nutella was one of my things, which I know today makes me want to throw up immediately. But I was definitely looking for like fat and sugar and sweet and just all these things. And I remember opening the refrigerator and something said, let's call it, you know, my inner wisdom of sorts, but something said, you can have everything you want, but first, I really would like you to feel your feelings. And then you'll have everything you want. And that's when it started. I remember sitting there crying, being upset, 30 minutes of it. And then I went back to the refrigerator and I said, I'm going back to bed. There was no hunger because it wasn't hunger to begin with. It was that nourishment that you speak of, Katie, where I let myself, by letting myself feel those feelings, the nourishment and the connection to myself, the love, you know, it was there. So no need for Nutella with mayo. Ever again since, actually. Thankfully.
Well, I love the conversation because it's very real. And I think so many of us struggle with big things that are behind closed doors and, you know, maybe historically felt a lot of shame about. But when we can take the shame away and know that we're not alone in whatever the challenges are for us, it's incredibly, it's an incredible invitation. So I thank you for sharing.
One of the things that was just occurring to me is, and it's something that we've practiced for years and years, we have no secrets. Gay and I have no secrets. And we would often, we up in the 90s when we were doing a lot of conferences and things, people would say, well, I know this is probably a secret. And we go, no, I mean, you can ask about anything. And my sense is that that's something that you and I share, Sophie, that, that we have no secrets. And just knowing that there's no, you know, I can ask about anything. We can, you know, we can share about whatever is going on, whether it's, you know, about feelings or something that happened or, you know, something to resolve. And for me, that that's so deeply relaxing to my whole nervous system and in support of essence.
And that is such an act of love, Katie, to be able to be in something that others may perceive as shameful,
yeah.
mm-hmm. but to be able to be like, there, this is what the best I could do. You know, I'm going to do better. But to not have this sense that there's something I have to hide because I'm mm-hmm. bad. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not lovable. I'm not, there's none of that. It's just really, what a freedom. What a mm-hmm. freedom.
But yes.
Again, just such an exemplary model of what I intend for my friendships and, yeah. So thank you. Yeah. So good. Do you want
to? This was so fun because Katie and I don't get to mm-hmm. be interviewed by someone else. This was really fun. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you have more time, I have a few more questions.
I have about 5 more minutes.
Okay. So you have 3? You have 3?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, then this will be part one.
This is fun.
We alluded to Be, Play, Love. So you use those words with the intention of offering what, would you say? Like, what is that offering to the audience and the listener of Be, Play, Love?
Being is getting here and being real.
Mm-hmm.
And play is really about being able to lightly toss whatever is going on, to be with whatever is going on, and then love comes from the connection of the nourishment of being with and the nourishment of playing. And so all of those really support each other in your feeling nourished, refreshed, you know, and ready to discover more.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I have nothing to add to that.
Yeah.
Exactly what she's saying.
I was laughing, Sophie. I was on your website and I loved the article. You have your love of pickleball, and then you have a link to the article. And I loved how you said, I think some of the listeners will appreciate, I had never even heard the word pickleball before. From the look of it, ping pong, badminton, and tennis, had a child and called mm-hmm. it pickleball. So yeah, that was so
passion.
Yeah. Well, I thank you so much for being here today. I'll put in the show notes all links to your bodies of work, and I couldn't be more grateful. So thank you.
Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure to play with you.
Yes, very fun. Okay, to the listeners, we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. If you love what you heard, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if it's on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful for a 5-star rating and review. And be sure to share with a friend if you're called to do so. To learn more about my 1-on-1 coaching programs and join the Mystical Sisterhood community, visit MaureenSpielman.com or MysticalSisterhood.com.